A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hello everyone. Welcome back to Frank Film Club. We this week are talking about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which was a listener's pick. We put it out to our listeners to pick one of the films this series, and we had some classics. This wasn't actually the most voted for film. The most voted for film was Lord of the Rings.
Totally.
I'm really sorry we haven't picked Lord of the Rings. We felt like it was too much of a scope to pick one and just to talk about just one film. So, and we didn't pick that one.
Yeah.
So we thought that this one would be a good one because it's one standalone piece and there's lots to talk about. And the third place most voted was Gladiator, which also would be interesting to do maybe next series when the new one comes out, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, me too. We should definitely do that.
A hybrid like we're about to do with Mean Girls coming up soon.
Great idea.
Yeah. Eyes peeled for that. But today, so we are doing Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. This is one of my favourite films.
Yeah.
I find it really difficult to talk about on the podcast films that I feel really passionate about, especially nostalgic films, just to get across just how much they shaped me. But I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
And we'll need your help and guidance as well. I'm really excited to hear what you both think about Eternal Sunshine. Yeah. So Eternal Sunshine, Joel finds out that his girlfriend Clementine has had him erased from her memories and decides to do the same. During the time of the clinical procedure, he realizes that he still loves her deeply. The film is written by Charlie Kaufman, which he also wrote Being John Malkovich, Adaption, I'm Thinking of Ending Things, legendary. Mm-hmm. Directed by Michelle Gondry, starring Kate Winslet, Jim Carrey, Elijah Wood, Mark Ruffalo, Kirsten Dunst, and Tom Wilkinson. Stellar performances from all. You can watch this, you can rent it or buy it on Amazon Prime or Apple TV. Stay tuned, because in this episode, we're going to be discussing why Jim Carrey didn't like filming this film. Ooh. An alternate ending, which I found, and what you guys think of that. And just generally about the cult following of this film and why it really touched so many people and how it resonates with you today.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into all of that, how are you both doing?
Yeah, well, thanks. Me and Maisie have been together recently. We shot a short film.
The other
week. Yeah.
Well, tell everyone about it. What's it about? Can you say?
Shall we just say?
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
It's so stupid.
It's ridiculous, but it's brilliant. It's set in this world, but kind of an alternate version of this world where Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet...
Fitting.
Very.
...had a baby. And the baby is played by me. She's grown up now. And she's a Nepo baby. And the film takes place on the day that the massive vulture Nepo baby article came out. And it's just a turbulent day for this young starlet who actually hasn't really done anything successful in her career. And it's kind of mad that she's, you know, posed next to Lily Rose Depp when Lily Rose Depp is a star. And Coco DiCaprio is nothing of the sort. It's just bonkers and great fun, and it came from Larry's head.
Well, it came from both of us, really. We were a little bit drunk one night, wrote it on the notes app, and then had a spare day and we shot it. It was great.
So fun. I can't, so what are you going to do with it so people know? Are you going to try
that
and festival
how it,
or?
Turns out.
Okay. Yeah. We're about to edit it. If it's absolutely awful, probably no one will ever see it.
Yeah.
If it's absolutely amazing, we will be sharing.
Everyone will see
it.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that also, because maybe we'll post it, well, when it gets released.
If it doesn't get made, like, we'll set up a Patreon or something and, like, we'll give members of this pod, because this is the only place where we've spoken about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If it never goes anywhere, then it's coming to you.
Yeah.
Great.
We can do little sly screenings.
Oh my God. Love it. Creative little beans.
Yeah, great fun.
Great.
That's been brilliant. What have you been up to, Han?
Oh my God, nothing as exciting as that. I've been really busy, but just like annoying bits, you know, when you're in the middle of like a few projects and nothing's really going over the line, but you've got to do all of the legwork.
Yeah.
That's happening a lot. So we're all working towards something, but I'm in the grey, you know, in the grey of it at the minute.
Right.
And I can't really see the wood for the trees.
Oh, well, fair play for keeping going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is like, I don't know, 80% that.
Yeah.
And if you can keep going through that, that's what gives you your extra 20%.
Exactly.
It's kind of, yeah, an industry of resilience.
Mm. If you're going through hell, keep going.
Yeah.
As they say.
Who said that?
I don't know.
Hannah Marie Williams.
Me just now. This film, when did you first watch it? Can you remember when you first watched it and how you felt about it then? And has it changed at all as you've watched it again or as you've grown up?
I can't remember when I first watched this film. And it's not one that I had rewatched a lot of times. I think I'd seen it once or twice before and actually didn't, like when I was quite young and watched it, didn't really understand what was going on throughout. So then when we revisited this, it was a whole different experience. But yeah, can't pinpoint it. So can't really go into it that much, just that I didn't fully understand, I didn't follow.
Mm.
Do you remember?
If I had to pinpoint the time in my life, I think I was like 15 and had just started developing my own taste in movies, and this came recommended to me after I told someone that I'd watched Like Crazy, which is one of my faves.
Love.
And I think someone who's sort of older and wiser than me said, oh, if you're into sort of heartbreaking romantic films, you need to watch the classic that is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And I think it was kind of the first magical realism film that I'd ever seen. So loved it for a lot of those reasons. And I think that really the story and the weight of it was pretty lost on me then. I don't think I'd been in love and I don't think it connected to me or meant something to me in the way it did to other people at that point in my life, and have since rewatched it. And now I'm just like, every year I feel I'm taking more and more from it. Mm-hmm. Having now gone through like a serious, I've had love, but I've also had real heartbreak. And I feel like now this movie is serving me in ways that it never did before.
Yeah. So the 20-year anniversary is this year. And I think I felt the same way when I first watched it. I don't remember the exact like viewing experience, but I do remember telling people that I loved this film. And I remember being really proud of myself that I liked this film.
It's a cool film to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then now when I watch it, everything... That's why I asked that question. Like, the more that I've experienced what a relationship is like thinking of your partner, and those moments that sometimes feel painful, but also help shape an overall experience of what a relationship actually is, just resonates so much more with me. And it breaks my heart every time I watch it, but just like in a really beautiful way that I want more of it.
Yeah.
It's really lovely.
Yeah, it is.
Well, why do you think it's got such a big following?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't know, because I feel like at the time it is still now a standout film. But I feel like maybe now I could liken it to more films that have come out in recent times. Maybe it was standout because it was like... It's futuristic. Well, obviously at its core, the film is told so incredibly, and it's so emotional, and you really like feel everything the characters feel because of the performances and because of the writing. But then I think the actual production of the film and like how they've made do, I imagine it was a small-ish budget, or they've made do with what they have in the same way that like Everything Everywhere All at Once did. And
yeah.
They've like really made it magical in a way that is like kind of lo-fi.
Yeah.
And maybe that made it stand out, because I don't know if that was like being done that much at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels completely unique. I think the concept of erasing someone from your memory during heartbreak is something that like, I think we all think about, but then to set this in a world where that's a plausible thing to do, but then all you get to do is explore the turmoil and the joy of love and heartbreak. And you do it in this way that's incredibly entertaining, because like you're learning new things about the laws of this universe and like, you know, how the coding of that works. And it's like you're just on this vehicle that's very joyous and visually so fun and kind of its own style. Like Charlie Kaufman is just, he kind of originated this and yeah, continues to be like the leader at it. And then, yeah, you at the soul of it, it's like something that just makes you want to cry. And I just think combination of those things all orchestrated really beautifully, plus time, plus it being ahead of its time, it's like going to be a classic forever, you know?
I think all of the elements are just so well thought out, with even this, like the very satisfying B plot with the rest of the actors.
Right, yeah, which so I kind of had completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
Until rewatching it now.
And when rewatching it, yeah, it's not until it actually happens, everything with Mary, Kirsten Dunst's character. Yeah, until that kind of like twist is revealed. I had also completely forgotten about it and then was like, oh my God, I feel so satisfied by every element of the story right now, which I think is rare. And it's just like, yeah, shows how brilliant of a writer Charlie is.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh God, I just said Charlie Kaufman, didn't I? But
you did.
But it's not directed by Charlie Kaufman.
No, he wrote it. But yeah.
So had the who's the director, and has she?
Is it he?
Yeah. Had he done other things? I don't know anything about him.
So Michelle Gondry, it was a music video director, so was very used to doing like lots of things on a smaller budget.
Yeah.
And did music videos for like Bjork. Who else? I have
to say Jamiroquai.
I think he did do Jamiroquai. Daft Punk.
Wow.
White Stripes, Kylie Minogue, and came from that world where you have to like have very cool concepts which are really memorable in a short period of time and tell a story like that on like a smaller budget, using loads of practical effects.
That's so funny.
And now he's translated that into this. But also amazing that it's got this really sincere, beautiful thread about love, which feels really real, along with all of these concepts. Because sometimes when you watch a film, which has got a lot of these different elements that are put together, it can feel like too many ideas at once and it doesn't string together well.
Yeah.
But this one doesn't do that.
No, not at all. Like, really nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool to have a combination of a writer who's obviously amazing at writing, and then a director who potentially isn't very good at writing because they've come from a very different background, but is so good at just like those amazing visuals. That's a cool collaboration.
Funnily enough as well, actually this is all like slotting into place now, because he comes from that world where he's used to like thinking of cool concepts and delivering on those. He's got a great writer, but he was also going through a really bad breakup when he was doing the film. The trifecta of filmmaking. Well, let's talk about the cast, because he has some interesting ways of working with the actors, which I think definitely really help the performances in this as well. First of all, we can't start talking about the cast without speaking about Jim Carrey and his performance in this.
Yeah.
I love him in this.
Yeah.
So good.
So much. He feels so deeply sad.
Yeah.
Like he's not performing that sadness. Like, it feels very in him.
Yeah, it does. So do you think that was, like you mentioned before, he didn't enjoy acting in this role? Is that because he was actually sad, or?
Well, he's been very vocal in interviews and he's enjoyed this experience. He's just been really honest with some of the elements of working with Michelle that he struggled with. Part of it was that they were filming in the cold and he was doing like 17-hour days and everything was really technical in parts and took a really long time to film. Like, you know the scene in the where they're in the sink?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's basically like a massive hot tub that they're actually in. And then the arms of the mum washing them in the sink is like a puppet.
Okay.
Like a real puppet. And they were in there for so long that Kate Winslet fainted.
No.
Oh my God.
And there's behind the scenes video of it and he's like kicking off about Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Wait, who's kicking off? Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey's kicking off at the director.
Yeah, because, like, the conditions are just
the
not.
Conditions were not right.
That is bad. Whoa.
It is bad.
Yeah, fair enough to then out the director for that. Or out the team. I guess it's not just the director's job, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's, that's good to know, kind of thing.
Mm.
That he can be vocal about that and, like, we can all be aware of it, because it doesn't change my view of the film. I still love it. And I'm like, put the actors to work. But yeah, I don't know. There are certain, this is like a real moral quandary that I have about a lot of art. Is that some of my favorite things, they have stories like this, like in the making of, and, you know, lots of musicians that I love have, like, horrible worldviews or, like, whatever. Like, I just, and I think it's something that I'm just, like, always gonna run into. And it feels like so many things that I love have a little bit of a sour backstory to them. Mm. But I'm going to go ahead and say it was a different time and they're all fine now.
It's a real, it's for me as well. Because I work with so many directors that I feel are creatively so exciting and interesting. And sometimes the way that they want to audition talent, for me, I'm like, we can't do that.
Right. And this is how I feel when I've worked with directors who are really intense and do things again and again and again, and they're very cold and they don't praise you and they don't, I mean, it depends on what the role is, but, like, I love it. I love what it does. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I hear the Shelley Duvall of it all and I'm like, I just, like, kind of love that, like, that idea of being worked with by a director like that. Like, listen, that doesn't mean that it's right. That doesn't mean that Shelley Duvall wanted that. Like, but, like, that's kind of something. I love when fiction and reality start to slightly blur when I'm making something.
Yeah, I agree with you. But as well, for me, like, it's difficult. I would never be, I am the gatekeeper and, like, the protector of the actors.
You have to.
So it's, but it's really interesting to hear that you think like that. And I actually think a lot of the times the actors that I work with might feel the same way to, like, being pushed. But
it's when things go wrong and that hasn't been, like, you know, protected from the get-go, then it becomes very, very complicated. And, you know, I've never been in that situation. But if I was, I know that having said this on this podcast, you know, like, it's a complicated part of making art, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting because, like, working with you as a producer, you were always so pro, obviously, like, pro actors and looking after actors. And so I don't know, I just kind of wonder how that sits with you when it's you being the producer in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like, do you still think, well, you want to work the actors hard? Because I feel like you don't, you really, really want to make sure that the actors are, like, okay, which
rest.
Is good.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
It's funny that you don't think you don't worry about that for yourself.
Yeah, that is interesting. I feel, is this example of the short film that we did, or just anything?
And just, like, throughout, you've always been like, with any of our projects, you're like, and we need to make sure that we're doing this for the actors as well.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's because I feel like in this, it sounds like it's a combination of things. There's the way that Jim was working with Michelle. And then there's also the hours that Jim was working. And I feel like I can work really intensely with a director and we can do a billion takes, but as long as my hours are being met and I get to have an hour of lunch and I get to have a full night's sleep.
Mm.
And if you're not having both of those things, then that's when it can get really, really complicated.
Yeah.
But it's like from action to cut, like, I'm very...
When you're actually doing the job.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's so actor dependent and director dependent, because I feel, I feel like, everyone's got to choose what they want there.
Yeah.
But what I love about being a producer is being able to tell when an actor is like, you know, these are the things that are outlined, but actually this is what I want. And I love knowing an actor well enough and feeling like they can talk to me enough that we can change things to meet, like, whatever they want.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to have that trust that you're not going to break their turnaround and, like, all of those things that happen so frequently. yeah, start off being like overprotective, and then you can start to let the
exactly
fluidity in as the performances are growing.
Yeah, totally. Mm. Well, another thing that Michelle Gondry did with Jim Carrey, and I've not heard that he said that he didn't like this, but I can imagine maybe this was part of it as well, was that, so Jim Carrey's known for doing a lot of improvisation, comedy actor, and all of the actors were allowed to improv, and he was not. And Michelle Gondry would like speak to him and Kate Winslet separately and say to Kate Winslet, this scene is light, it's comedic in some ways. And then he'd say to Joel, to Jim Carrey, Joel, that this is really dramatic and he's really upset in this moment, so that that he never brought his performance up to Jim Carrey usual levels that we see him.
Wow. That must have been so frustrating for Jim Carrey. But maybe that, well, obviously.
That's what he needed, though, obviously. Like
that's, that's what made it work.
Yeah, because that's like when a relationship starts to crumble is when you stop hearing each other and how you mean things, and everything starts to just get disjointed, and you replay conversations and hear it from a completely new perspective, and you just like, you can't meet on the same page. Mm. And the joy of being an actor is like feeling the energy and the pace of like everyone you're working with and building a scene together. But when that's disjointed, it can feel like hell actually to act in that way. But for this film, like, though, that's the beauty of the scenes, is that you're watching two people on two completely different pages, and it's like perfect.
Yeah.
But it's a shame, the process of that. I mean, I wonder if Michelle had just like, Jim Carrey's a seasoned, incredible actor, if he had explained that more and said, like, I'm gonna be feeding you different lines and, you know, guidance here, because I'm loving that it's making you both just not gel on camera. And Jim could have got behind that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, do your thing.
If it is, so this is from my research, if that is the way that it was done, and he was, it's very exclusionary to trust your other actors to do what you want them to do and not trust
It's not very nice. It kind of keeps him like, oh, he's a bit silly, he doesn't really get it.
Yeah.
And he does. He's obviously an incredible actor.
Choices.
So yeah, it feels like maybe it wasn't gone about in the right way, and that actually I think you should trust your actor to, like, yes, using those techniques, feeding them different pieces of information is really, really useful, but don't like act like they're stupid.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of my big qualms. I feel like, I mean, I think this is different for all actors, but when a shot's not working and you see like the producer, the cinematographer, the director and the first all like huddled around the monitor like discussing, I'm like, could you speak up a bit? Because I'm pretty sure I can help you out here if something's not working. But they always want to work around the actor, which is fine. Because some actors, I'm sure if you said, can you stand here and deliver your line instead of here, they'd like freak out and be like, that's your job to figure that out or whatever. Mm. But like, I don't know, that's maybe a thing of the past. But I just feel like, just tell me what we're doing and I will do
it. I'm part of this equation with you.
Yeah. You don't have to, like, I don't have to be blinkered over here, like, in my process. Like, I can do all of that, but also, like, we're trying to make a movie together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just feel like different directors I work with, depending on if they're, like, new school, old school, have really different approaches to the details they'll disclose to actors. And it can sometimes feel like you're just a baby and everyone, and nothing's working, and they're just going, everything's great. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure everything's
but why
not.
Are we on like the 100th take?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just, and then I'm sure there's some actors that just wait until someone says for them to do something and they're not even, you know, I don't know actually. I'm just kind of spitballing in my mind.
Yeah, no. from your own experience as well. That's all we can do here, girls.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. Exactly. And also, like, we don't know for sure how much and how little Jim Carrey knew. And this is like what I found online. Mm. But theorizing over the theory, you know, this is not the right thing to do in my mind.
Didn't work.
Didn't
for him.
But for the actor, worked for the film, apparently, because the performances are amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Any guesses on the budget?
I said low. I said I thought it was low earlier. And then when, as I said that, I was like, I don't think it was that low.
When was it made? 2001?
2004. What about like 5 million? Okay. 8 million.
10.
I'll stick with 5 then.
5.
10.
5.
But I feel like Kate Winslet was like...
She was a goer.
They were and putting away some serious cash at this point. So right. Like...
Why don't you go to 15? I'll go to 10.
Okay, 15. 15 and you go 10.
Okay, right. Great. 20.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
20 milli. And it's made 74. It was nominated for... Oh, it won the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay.
Good. Oh
my gosh. Nominee for Kate Winslet. So shocked not a nominee for Jim Carrey. Yeah. Gutted about that, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a big shame, actually.
Me too.
But that feels so Oscar-y not to let him in. Mm. Because for reasons, that we've chatted about a lot. Kate Winslet, please.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, also, talking against type kind of thing, Kate Winslet being super scrappy and, like, crazy coloured hair, like... it's so not the person that immediately springs to mind, like at that time and the actors to choose from at that point in history. I'm like talking about it like it's, this is like only 20 years ago, that point in history when Kate Winslet was a star. She still is. Maisie, I've just had a coffee. Can anyone tell? Can anyone tell? But yeah, just I think also seeing her in this way is so brilliant. Mm.
I think this is why this film makes it into my top films, because it is so against type for those two main
actors. That's your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? I feel like from seeing Kate Winslet in so many interviews over the years, I think this character is probably way more like actual
her personality.
Kate Winslet
for sure.
Than most of the other characters that she's played. Like she's really fun and I don't know, kind of wacky in a way. Like, yeah. So it's like how maybe it was just because there weren't that many characters like that at the time, or they were played by people who were like, society would say were weird. Mm. Mm.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. Like, you know, when a director's sort of thinking of their cast, whether they are taking meetings with actors or whether they're thinking of other characters that are similar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Michelle Gondry would have seen the real Kate and then been like, she's perfect for this.
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
I don't know anything about the casting of Kate, but I do know that it's funny that you say like her speaking naturally, she feels a bit more like Clementine than she feels like somebody else that she's played. Like
Rose Dawson.
Yeah. Titanic
girl. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Rose Dawson.
Yeah. And when they were writing the dialogue for this film, her and Jim Carrey got together with Michelle and I'm guessing with Charlie Kaufman, the writer as well, to talk about their past relationships and heartbreak. And a lot of the dialogue derived from that, where she was just having a conversation and being herself.
Okay. Wow. Oh, interesting. Well, that makes sense. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I love Kate Winslet so much.
Me too.
Her delivery of like one of her final lines where she says, because that's what happens with me. Like, I don't know, just the way she says it, it feels like, every time I've heard her say that, I'm just like, that is not a line delivery that I would ever choose from words written on a page. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But it's like so real. Mm. that makes me feel like she's had that exact conversation before. But it's just like, you know, when you're given a blank canvas, it's very hard to pick up a rhythm like that, I find.
That's so funny. My bugbear when I'm looking through casting tapes is that 19 out of 20, the cadence of the lines is delivered exactly the same. And then when someone does something a little bit different, you're like, okay, you've got an experience of this, or you understand this properly, or you just maybe a little bit, you've tried it a few different ways. Maybe you've tried it this way that everybody else has done, but you found it another way. So that would be my top thing that I would say to actors is like, try just like messing it up a little bit.
What if it meant something completely different? And that's the beauty of right now, is that quite often you don't get a script and you just get the sides. So you really can afford to read between the lines. And even if it's completely wrong for what the actual story is, you're giving range.
Yeah, totally. Well, we've discussed Joel. We've discussed Clementine. Do you think that they're right for each other? And how do you feel about the ending? Two very different questions.
Well, or maybe not, because I'd say, like, is anyone right for each other? Like, it's just that you maybe make it work. You could be better suited to certain people. I think they're obviously suited towards each other a bit because they fall in love. And then I think what the beauty of the end is that I think it's because they're saying, okay, I'm going to make it work. We'll try make it work. People could have other interpretations of that ending, but that's kind of what I think and hope. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe they're not, maybe no one's right for each other, but I believe that they're going to try. And that's what makes me go, oh.
Yeah, it's worth, it's worth all of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's, for this and us.
They are going to have really shit times.
Yeah.
And they know that, but that's okay.
I love reading it the other way. Which is like, but I feel like you can read it both, which is like, okay, then let's leave each other alone. But know that we meant a lot to each other at one point.
What is the actual line? Can anyone remember?
Yeah, she goes, oh yeah.
I'm just a fucked up girl who, I can't remember.
Don't they just say okay to each other?
They're just like, they basically are saying that it's going to be so shit, and then they both, and then he says okay,
I'm
and
gonna
she
get
goes,
bored.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get bored and disappear because that's what happens with me. And then he goes, okay. And listen, I think there's like times in my life where I'll read it both ways. But I think after having my first real heartbreak, snaps for Maisie, getting over a heartbreak, I just like the thought of going through that again.
Yeah.
Even all of the good bits. For all of the bad bits, like, no, thanks. Even if I wasn't really sure, if I could see those painful memories the way that they have in, you know, I just, sorry, I can't.
This film really does hit different if you're in a different cycle of your life. Like when
if I was in love, then I'd be like, oh my God, of course we choose each other again and again and again.
But I think I would feel the same way. If something, God forbid, happened to me and Warren and I watch a film, I'd be like, I'm not doing it. Like, no way.
Never, yeah, no way. I can't do it again. It was amazing and it's done and I'm not doing it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you're in love or hopelessly romantic, the idea that, like, even if you erase one another from each other's mind, it's like, you know, it's heaven.
I suppose, yeah. Another take that you could take from it is that they say, okay, let's just like go along for now again, because we know that we're going to fall in love again. But when it gets shit, then okay, then it's over.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine. Because then
we already have context that at some point, so let's just get to know each other until we see those parts and then go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's true. If it was what my interpretation of it, that like, oh, we'll just say, okay, we'll just do it again and again and again. If it was actually a really, really toxic relationship and like not okay, that's not good. Listeners, don't go back to people who have been absolutely awful.
Yeah, don't go back
to them. That's not actually a good message at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the different interpretations are good and very dependent on what's going on.
This sort of thing is so romantic until you have a really close friend who is going through that, and all they do is tell you all of the bad stuff, and they like cannot quit get out. And like when you see it from that perspective, you're like, this is not romantic. This is awful.
Yeah.
But then when you see it, you know.
Yeah. It's very good to preface this conversation with all of those things that you've just said, because I do come at it from a romantic lens.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful that way.
Yeah, it is, definitely. But it, you know, that is really important part of the conversation, is like when something is toxic to the point where it's like really not good for your mental health.
You're erasing each other from your mind. Mm. Yeah. It'd be pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an alternate ending, which I don't know if they they might have shot it, okay. But this was definitely something that was scripted that they tried or were going to try. So the original script, it featured a cut at the end, which was Kate Winslet's Clementine years later, and she's having the procedure done again, and you see on the computer that she's had the procedure done loads of times, and it's always Joel's name. She keeps on going back and back and back.
See,
that makes it toxic.
That makes it toxic, and that makes me think, okay, yeah, Maisie, maybe, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Ooh,
isn't I don't know how I feel about that ending.
Isn't that someone's definition of insanity? It's like doing the same thing over and over again.
And hoping for different results.
Outcome. Yeah. But she doesn't remember it, is the thing. So it's not over and...
it's not. They keep finding each other again.
Subconsciously.
The romantic way of viewing that is that even though they keep removing each other, she still keeps finding him again.
But
and
it's
like, that's beautiful.
Yeah. But then I think that also shows the importance of memory, of everything, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. If you've gone through something, you will learn something from it. Because she kept on erasing it, she can never move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to go through pain.
Yeah.
You actually have to.
Otherwise, you're just stuck.
You will be stuck in there forever.
Yeah.
True.
We just nailed life and the universe. Yes.
What can I say, girls?
Wow.
Just a little Wednesday afternoon.
Would you erase anything from your life, be it big or small?
No, for the reasons that we've just sort of said. Because I've thought about that a lot, and it's a question that I've been asked in so many different contexts. But, I mean, there would have been times for sure where I would have said yes. But being a proud graduate of the therapy machine. I'm kidding, I'm still going. I feel like there has been no greater freedom than going through it, going through all, digging it all back up again. It's been awful for myself and a lot of people around me. And, you know, that's not great. Yeah. But now, like, life can begin.
Yeah.
And I just think... yeah, all those lessons, no one has to go through any of those things in order to be able to like live a good life. But the fact that people like I have been through those things has shaped everything. And now I have all of these lessons. And yeah, there's like horrible days, but you know, I'm not making the same mistakes over and over and over again, walking into the same people, like, you know, falling in love with the wrong hearts. Like I feel so like I'm a book being written rather than just like spiraling into pain.
Yeah.
Which kind of is what happens, I think, when you don't deal with it because you think that's in the past or that's gone or whatever. Like I'm going to just keep moving. It's like you kind of have to go back to go forwards, I think. Listen, this is just my perspective on it, but.
No, I think that's
a lot happier now than I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I also couldn't. I was thinking about this after watching it. Would I have anything erased? And for the reasons that we've all just said, I wouldn't. But then also something that was making me think, because I was like, well, are there any things from my life that I would like a raise. But no, it's not that, is it? Not, I don't think I would anyway. But it's not that. It's erasing it from your memory. From it would just be from my memory. So say I'd done something really bad to one of you.
Yeah.
If I erased it, it would still have happened and you would still remember it.
True.
And so like that's also an issue in this whole concept as well, that like you still did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's still you as a person. Yeah. You can't, yeah.
And it still had an effect on
other people.
Other people. And yeah. So no, I was trying to think of something.
I was couldn't. Also trying to rack my brains because I knew that I wanted to ask you that question. And the answer is definitely no for like anything big, but I do wish that I could erase some of the stupid shit I've said, because when I'm lying in bed at night and things play over in my mind, I'm like, why did I flipping say that?
No, but people still would have heard it.
Yeah, no,
but people don't think it's as embarrassing as what you think it is true. Sometimes.
I was actually just about to say the same thing.
That's true.
Like, I now have the understanding that these things that I think about from my past, no one has thought twice about since.
No one even remembered to start with.
Exactly. No one was even listening. but when you're laying, like, just to get over it, to be like, okay, I'm going to erase my memory of saying that so as I can just stop thinking about it.
That's
because
true.
No one else is thinking about
nobody
it.
Nobody else.
That's a fair
kids.
Point, because it actually never even mattered.
It never mattered.
Okay, yeah. Well, okay, that's probably the one thing that I'm like, that doesn't feel like a toxic thing to erase.
No, it's not toxic because it helps you, because nobody, it doesn't affect anybody anyway. Else.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think it's called an intrusive thought, but it's like, yeah, just those like
repetitive
thoughts.
Yeah, I've got a few in the bank and they slowly kill me off.
Yeah, I feel like there are a couple of earwigs from childhood, like little songs. For example, the fucking Lely Kelly song. We're Lely Kelly, the cutest shoes. Oh yeah, Lely Kelly, we are so cool. Oh yeah. Fuck that song. Fuck that song and how it spiraled around my head every day since I was about 8. And any little ounce of privacy, peace or silence, the fucking Lely Kelly song is spiraling around my head.
What the hell is Lely Kelly?
It's these shoes that I desperately wanted as a child.
Oh
and
my
I never
God.
Got them because my parents didn't love me.
Well,
I have no idea what that is.
I also can't ever say, if anyone says anything about a washing machine, I always say that they live longer with Calgon.
Yeah.
I can't not say that.
Well, I've never even heard that
washing
before.
Machines live longer with Calgon.
She never watched TV. She's crunchy.
What does crunchy even mean?
Did I not tell you this the other day?
I don't know.
It's like when everything's like organic and like you have brown bread and...
Oh, you did tell me that. Yeah, I'm a crunchy. Yeah.
If you've got any more that stick out in your mind that you can never get out, just send
don't
them over to us so
please.
We can ruin our own lives with them as well.
Yeah, but that's
Thank
what
you.
I'd have from me.
Great.
Yeah. Mean.
And on to Letterboxd, James has said, wish I could erase this film from my mind just so I could watch it again for the first time all over again.
No.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is such a Letterboxd film. Was it like a lot of love on Letterboxd?
Lot of love on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Lot of love on
Letterboxd.
Which is funny because
a lot of films that came out in 2004, people don't write about them on Letterboxd because they're just in the past and everyone wants to talk about the new cool thing. But this is still so iconic to so many people.
Iconic. Yeah. Actually, Ariana Grande has just released an album called Eternal Sunshine because this is one of her favourite films.
You're right.
That's fun.
I saw that.
Mm. Although I feel like she's such a different vibe to this film. But fair enough.
Outwardly, but maybe
we don't know her, to be fair.
Yeah, but like I don't imagine that the songs on that album will be like, oh yeah, it's really giving Eternal Sunshine.
No.
Does that mean? That's probably really mean.
I think we should listen and then maybe it is.
Maybe. I hope so.
To be discussed.
To be discovered and discussed. One Gizmo fan said, I pray people get broken up with so I can recommend this movie.
Yeah.
Dark, but true.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of nice. I don't know.
It was a better film to watch, like, after experiencing heartbreak. For the first and only time it will ever happen to me in my life.
Don't say that.
No, I'm never, ever, ever going to be heartbroken.
How are you
going
to be falling in love every week if you don't want heartbreak?
I just think that I'm stronger now.
Batten them off.
I shall just break hearts from here on in.
From here on in, I will be the breaker. Any Betlin said, my favourite horror film ever.
Oh. Real.
Yeah.
It was real. Great. Okay. Final thoughts on Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
It actually gets better every time I watch it. And so thank you for reminding me to watch it again.
Well, the listeners, thank you so much for choosing this film.
Yeah, great choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a brilliant one. And we had such good chats about it. Sometimes when we all love a movie, it's kind of hard to discuss, but there's so much to dive into here. So thank you for a really great episode.
Thank you, girls. Thank you for joining us. Let us know what you think of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and any other film that you want us to listen to, and we will try and talk about it here. The way to follow us is TikTok and Instagram at Frank Film Club, or you can send us an email, filmclub@wrapped.world.
Next week, we're going to be talking about Priscilla, which was written and directed by Sofia Coppola. I think you can watch it on Mubi.
Yes.
So give it a watch. It's a good one. And meet us back here next week for more Frank Film Club.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.